By late afternoon, I was exhausted and emotionally drained. On top of everything else, a bad case of jet lag had set in. Returning to my empty apartment, I felt desperately lonely and abandoned. My promotion seemed meaningless, or, even worse, to be a badge of my willingness to sell out. I threw myself onto the bed, overwhelmed with despair. I had been used by Claudine and then discarded. Determined not to give in to my anguish, I shut down my emotions. I lay there on my bed, staring at the bare walls for what seemed like hours. Finally, I managed to pull myself together. I got up, swallowed a beer, and smashed the empty bottle against a table. Then I stared out the window. Looking down a distant street, I thought I saw her walking toward me. I started for the door, and then returned to the window for another look. The woman had come closer. I could see that she was attractive, and that her walk was reminiscent of Claudine's, but it was not Claudine. My heart sank, and my feelings changed from anger and loathing to fear. An image flashed before me of Claudine flailing, falling in a rain of bullets, assassinated. I shook it off, took a couple of Valium, and drank myself to sleep. The next morning, a call from Maine's personnel department woke me from my stupor. Its chief, Paul Mormino, assured me he understood my need for rest, but he urged me to come in that afternoon. "Good news," he said, "the best thing for catching up with yourself." I obeyed the summons and learned that Bruno had been more than true to his word. I had not only been promoted to Howard's old job, I had been given the title of chief economist and a raise. It did cheer me up a bit. I took the afternoon off and wandered down along the Charles River with a quart of beer. As I sat there, watching the sailboats and nursing combined jet lag and vicious hangover, I convinced myself that Claudine had done her job and moved on to her next assignment. She had always emphasized the need for secrecy. She would call me. Mormino had been right. My jet lag and my anxiety dissipated. During the next weeks, I tried to put all thoughts of Claudine aside. I focused on writing my reports on the Indonesian economy and on revising Howard's load forecasts. I came up with the type of study my bosses wanted to see, a growth in electric demand averaging 19% per annum for 12 years after the new system was completed, tapering down to 17% for 8 more years, and then holding at 15% for the remainder of the 25-year projection. This book is continued on Disc 3.